I faithless by sight, lead me with heavenly light, teach me thy way. When I am sad at heart, teach me thy way. When earthly joys depart, teach me thy way. In hours of loneliness, in times of dire distress, in failure or success, teach me thy way. When doubts and fears arise, teach me thy way. When storms o'erspread the skies, teach me thy way. Shine through the cloud and rain, through sorrow, toil, and pain, make thou my pathway plain, teach me thy way. Long as my life shall last, teach me thy way. Where'er my lot be cast, teach me thy way. Until the race is run, until the journey's done, until the crown is won, teach me thy way.
Amen.
Teach me thy way, we're asking.
Can the Lord to show us his way? And Jesus gave himself to us. I'm the way, the truth,
and the life. He is the way, and so we need to follow Jesus. All right, this morning we want to look at some things. Before I do that, I did want to mention you need to be praying for Elizabeth Brubaker's father. We got some of the updates about Bruce Townsend. He hasn't been doing so well and in the hospital and trying to get his oxygen and breathing levels properly. And so just continue to pray for Elizabeth's father and also the whole family, her mother. And just as they go through this time, don't know what's going to happen, but we just need to pray that God would bless with Elizabeth's father, Bruce, at this time. So if all of us could put in, that would be greatly appreciated, I'm sure, by the family. 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we're going to be. Just get to the chapter, and then let me say a few things, and then we'll get into the passage. 2 Timothy Chapter 3. Glad that you're all here this morning, and hopefully you're eager to hear for a few moments today what God has given to me that I'm giving to you. And I trust that God will use me and be the mouthpiece that I need to be so that you can get God's word from Him today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, going off of what we looked at 2 weeks ago concerning the person of Jesus Christ. You remember, Thomas came to Jesus. Actually, that Jesus was with the disciples. We have that great and wonderful story. That discourse is given to us in John. John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. All those wonderful chapters which we read. We get the heart of Jesus. The heart of Christ is given to his disciples. And I would suggest, folks, that even though the passage in John that Jesus was focused on those disciples, it was a passage that he gave very specifically to the disciples, but to us as well, as we're his disciples. And then he even went on later in those chapters, and he turned the direction to those that would come after the disciples, and that's us. And so the passage is a lovely passage that we discover the heart of Christ, the heart of Christ given to us. Honestly, folks, Jesus, I know we sing it, the kids sing it, but Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you, and he has given himself to us, and he did in John. You know, part of the way through that, in John chapter 14, Jesus is telling those disciples, he says, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he goes through all this, and he had given parts and pieces of the roadmap or the puzzle to those disciples. But honestly, even though the disciples could have understood, they didn't. They didn't know it all, and they didn't certainly see the big picture you know, like Jesus had. Jesus knew, of course, he was God, what was going to happen. The disciples are very confused. Thomas being a little bit, I don't like being too negative on Thomas because we're so negative on Thomas. But Thomas being a little bit of the skeptic, or at least on the negative or the not so positive side of things, said, Lord, we don't. Now, Jesus had just told them that I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give it to you. You've got it. And Thomas said, no, Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where we're going. Jesus had just told him that they did. Thomas really could have focused on some of the things that Jesus had told in the past, and he could have put the pieces of the puzzle together, but he didn't get it. And we can't blame Thomas too much for that, because I don't know that we would have gotten it either. But Jesus then, in his loving and gentle fashion, you know, says to Thomas and to the rest of the disciples, he says, I am the way, Thomas. He says, Thomas, I'm the truth. He says, in fact, Thomas, I am life. I am the life. And nobody's going to get to this place, the Father, except or but by me. No one. So Jesus is there offering to Thomas, but more than Thomas, offering to us, Christian or non-Christian. And a lot of times we use this passage in John chapter 14 and verse 6. We use it for a foundational verse about salvation, and rightly so, because it is very applicable in that manner. For salvation, Jesus is the only way, isn't he? There is no way to get to Jesus, or there's no way to get to God the Father except through Jesus Christ. There is no way. And mankind has tried to put all kinds of things together so that they can have a way to get to God through other means. But folks, can I tell you very simply, there is no other way except Jesus, period. It's the case is settled. There is no other way. You cannot do good enough works. You cannot go to church enough. You cannot do enough good things. Love the Lord enough. Some people say, I hope the Lord knows that I love him so much. Well, that's okay, as long as that's not your method of getting to heaven. It's not going to work. Sadly so, it's not. And I think there are going to be a lot of deceived people that are thinking, because they have been led astray by religious people thinking that doing good things is going to get them to heaven. There's going to be a lot of disappointment one day. And there already has. But I will tell you that Jesus didn't leave us hanging. He says, listen, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And for the unsaved person, Jesus is the answer. Now, don't take this wrong when I say this. And this is going to sound bad. God is not the answer. Now, hold on. Oh, that sounded bad. Honestly, most people in the world talk about God, don't they? God. And who are they talking? I recently was talking to somebody, and they said something about a higher being or a power that's above. You know, and they make generalities for who God is, and that's, you know, not right. We're very specific who God is. He is God, the Almighty, the Sovereign, the All Omnipotent, the Omniscient, the everything. We got a good picture of who God is. It's not just some higher being that's out there, a higher power that's out there. We know. But God gave us Jesus as a picture of who God is. And folks, unless they understand who Jesus is, they don't know who God is. You catch that? You cannot divorce God and Jesus. It doesn't work. And so it's a twisted way to say the answer is not God, because the answer is God, but the answer is God through the three persons of the Trinity. And you cannot take any one of them away and still have God. He is God through the Father, through the Son, and through the Holy Spirit. He is God. And he made himself known to mankind through Jesus Christ. But where the world falls short is what they think and believe about Jesus. And that's so. And in scriptures, by the way, that's the test, the litmus test of whether the faith is true, and whether if a belief is true, is what do they say about Jesus? That's what Paul said. What do they say about Christ? And that's the answer right there. And there's a lot of people that don't understand Christ. And so I think you understand what I mean when I say It's not so much a belief in God. The devils believe in God, right? Jesus. What about Jesus, though? And that's something that the devils couldn't hack. Jesus. Get us out of here. Send us into the swine, right? Jesus is around. They couldn't deal with that. And folks, we need to understand that Jesus is the answer to God, if I could put it that way. He's the way. All right, so 2 weeks ago we looked at that, and it's not just for the unsaved person. Folks, it's for the saved individual. He didn't say, just for the unsaved, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That means he's the way, the truth, and the life in who he is, but he's the way, the truth, and the life for you as well. Okay, so Thomas wanted a roadmap, didn't he? We don't read that, but he really was looking for a roadmap. He said, "You don't, no, we don't have the answer. You didn't put a map in front of me." And Jesus said, Thomas, it's me. Thomas, you know, wanted truth, and he wanted to understand everything. I find myself like Thomas in that middle way, probably all the ways, but I like to understand everything. And Jesus said, you don't need to understand anything. Understand me. You know, Thomas wanted the answer. He wanted the destination. He said, listen, Thomas, the power to get there. He said, listen, I'm the power to get there. I'm everything. Now we look at that, and I left you, and I said, okay, in application, I said, so we need to make everything in life Jesus. And by the way, when I say that, I'm not saying as opposed to God. For Jesus is God. Does everybody understand that? I'm not saying, don't focus on God, focus on Jesus. Jesus is God. You can use them synonymously as far as what we're talking about. He is the way. Jesus is the way. But that doesn't mean if you're spending time focusing on the attributes of the Father, that means you're not on Jesus. Let's not split hairs like that. We're talking about God. Jesus needs to be everything to you in your life. He needs to be the focus of everything that you do. When you don't know the way and you don't have the map, you need to go to Jesus. You need to go to God. You say, God, you're my pursuit. It's not that so much, you know, so many times in life, we don't know which way to go, and we so much focus on the way. And the way is God. The way is Jesus. He says, you just follow me. Just love me. Just learn of me, and I will lead you and guide you. And that's the trust that we don't have. Now, I say all this to say, okay, so Jesus is saying, listen, Thomas, it's me, or Christian at Faith Bible Church, you put your focus on Jesus Christ. Put your focus on God, and I will lead you to where you need to go. Christian, I'm telling you, and I don't totally understand it, but I'm telling you as a preacher of God's Word that Jesus, God, is the answer to every path in life that you need. Pursue Him, and you will not be left in the dark. Okay? Pursue Him, and you will not be left in the dark. You follow Jesus, you will not be left. Now that was good and all, and it was a complete message, and I think that just left by itself was good enough. There's no lack in Jesus. But can I tell you, this is the amazing thing about God and His love for us. He gave us Jesus that was enough. Before I say any more, take your Bibles, keep yourself here in 2 Timothy. Let's go to John 1. Are you familiar with John chapter 1? Now, John is one of four writers that gives a perspective of the life of Christ. There are four different perspectives. Matthew is focused in a different way than John was. He had a different group of people that was his main audience. He had a different point. Mark was, again, indifferent. He had his own different way. And then we have Luke, the technical Luke, that had his own way. And then we have John. And John, I would say, is the most different of all four. But we're talking about the same story, the story of Jesus, kind of like we just sang about, more about Jesus. It's good to get different perspectives, isn't it? A different side of things to see. John has I'm not going to say the back side of things, but he's coming from a different angle than certainly Matthew, Mark, and Luke did. He starts off in a different way. We don't have the genealogies. We don't have the birth of Jesus Christ here. But here we have who Jesus was and is. And so John starts off in a tremendous way in 14 verses. And I'm not going to read all 14 verses, but I hope that you're familiar with these verses. that was given. But I do want you to look at a couple verses. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 1. Now remember, we're keeping in mind practical ways to make Jesus our all. The song, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. Pastor, tell me. Okay, so you told me 2 weeks ago that Jesus needs to be everything. I still need more because, maybe not you, but for me, I'm kind of dumb. I need something a little bit more tangent in life than just saying, Jesus is everything. Look at John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, this is how John chooses to start off. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right, the Word, the Logos. Who is he talking about here, the Word? Now, a lot of times when we think of the Word, and we'll talk about this here in just a moment, we think of God's Word, which is not altogether wrong. However, who's John talking about here when he says in the beginning was the Word? He's talking about Jesus, isn't he? I mean, and it gives you a clue. And the Word was with God. And then he has there's no more messing around here. And what's his last phrase? And the Word was God. Okay? We're talking about Jesus. Okay. Now the Word itself, the word Word that's given here, I told you it was the word, the Greek word logos. The Word means speech or speaking, a message, words. One person said the sayings or the moral precepts given by God. Let me ask you a question about words. Words, do they help us? It's part of language, isn't it? Language helps us. Have you ever had thoughts about certain things, but you didn't have words? There's times when Melissa might ask me, what are you thinking? I have a hard time sharing, putting it into words, but it helps her understand what I'm thinking or going through when I can put it into words, right? Words help us to understand truth. They help us to understand the reality of something. I can tell you that I'm holding here something in my hands. Now, I'm not really, but I can say that I'm holding something. But if I don't describe it to you, you can't see it. It's not going to help you. But if I start describing, all of a sudden you start to build a picture of what's here, right? And that was the point. It's interesting that God uses this word here, the Word, because he was the Word that was given to, it was a message to describe. Isn't that lovely? It was a message to describe who God is. And he gave us Jesus, the picture of who God is. People in the world, people that are physical people, God is a spirit. But I don't want you to be in the dark about things. I want to give you a person. And here's Jesus. He's the Word. He's my message. You look at him and it will tell you everything about me. Isn't that what John later goes on to say? Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen who? The Father. You have seen him. Look at me and you've seen him. So he gave the world a message. And isn't that what Jesus is a message? Jesus is a gospel message, and that's what his life is, and that's why we want to sing the song more about Jesus, because he is the message of who God is. That's tremendous, and that's a little bit more insight of why Jesus can tell Thomas, look at me, Thomas, because I am the message of who God is. And so 2 weeks ago, we looked at the fact that Jesus is that message. And here in John chapter 1, we see that in the beginning was the Word, the message, the speech, the speaking, the something, the sayings that help us to understand God and who he is and what he is for. So he gave Jesus. Look down at verse 9 in John chapter 1. This is interesting also. In verse 9, we see this. Now, John is still describing Jesus, okay? And he's referring to him as the light, and he's talking about Jesus because, you know, John is saying that he was a light to bear witness of the light, right? And he says, what about himself? He said, I am not that light, but I was sent to bear witness of the light, okay? John was a shining light to bear witness of the light, who is Jesus, okay? You understand that? Now look at verse 9. And the word that is referring to Jesus, okay? That, or he, that light, Jesus, was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now what's interesting is the word lighteth. So Jesus is that true light, capital L, he's the true light. Jesus is the light, right? Jesus didn't say that in John 14:6, but he could have. Okay, the way, the truth, and the life, and the light, and he could have added a whole lot more things that he does put in other passages. He's the door, he's the, and all these things that he is, right? You're familiar with all those things that Jesus is. But he says here, that was a true light which lighteth. And I want you to focus on this word just for a moment. So Jesus was the light which lighteth every man. What is that word lighteth? The word lighteth is to render evident. To render evident. That means to put it to reality. To make it, listen, everybody look up here. It's to put it right in front of my face so that I can see it. God, again, God to many is obscure because he's a spirit. And that's why people refer to him as a higher being, a higher power. They don't understand. They don't understand this. But God is telling us here through John, wait a second, you can't understand it because I've given Jesus to render the evidence of who God is. When you look at Jesus, you're looking at the Father, so there is no more obscurity there. We see Jesus, right? And so every one of those people that were in life in Jesus' time, they had a clear picture of who the Father was. Jesus was God. There he is. The word lighteth is to render evident, to instruct, to inform, to teach. Jesus was that instruction and teacher. He was that one. So in a sense, Jesus gave us the Word. And very strictly speaking, he gave us himself to be the picture. Now, remember Thomas in our illustration. Thomas would have loved, first of all, a map, wouldn't he? Just like me. A map. Something to really look at and describe the whole thing that I can look down at. He really would have loved to know all the facts of where I should go and where I shouldn't go. He would like to understand everything. He likes to see what's on the other side of that fence. He wants to see what's down in that gully and other side of that mountain. You know what? He wanted some answers just like I would love answers. He wanted to know how he was going to get there. Thomas wanted all those things. And he said, Thomas, here's me. And we said 2 weeks ago, there could have been a little bit of a disappointment in Thomas, like, you? Now, Jesus was the complete answer. But can I tell you that you cannot divide the Word from the Word. When God gave Jesus, he gave us the Word. And it's although Jesus was the visual sight there, when Jesus left, what did he give all these disciples? What did he give these people? That's the unique thing. You know what? Jesus was going to leave, and he's going to be on the right hand of his Father until one day Jesus comes in the clouds to gather us, and that's going to be a tremendous day. It's going to be a good day. But I'll tell you what, even Thomas didn't understand that although he was going to leave him, he was going to leave him with the Word. He was going to leave him with himself. And folks, I want to tell you something. And I'm not trying to say that this is Jesus right here, but this is the Word of God. this, honestly, when Jesus was alive, there were things that they had that they could see. But you remember what was said? He said, when I leave, I'm going to tell you, there is, what is it, 2 Peter? There is a more sure word. You remember that? A more sure word. Folks, I want to tell you something. We have. You think, boy, have you ever thought about this or heard somebody say, you know what, if I had lived during Jesus' times, there was no way I would have rejected him. I could have believed everything because I could have saw him for my eyes. You know what? And there was a lot of people that rejected Jesus. And there is a lot of people that rejected Jesus now. And I'll tell you that in the millennium, there's going to be people that reject Jesus. And it's going to be a kingdom set up where he's ruling and reigning. We're going to be able to see everything even I think it's just, as we go through, as a Christian goes through life, we're going to see more and more of Jesus and more of God as we go through. And we're going to be amazed as we go through this life. It's an amazing thing. But I'll tell you what. And I hate to say there's something better than Jesus, but even in God's own words, he says, you're going to have even a more sure word that I'm going to give to you. We've got God's word. Folks, can I tell you this in a very simple way? And we're not even started yet today. We're not at any disadvantage to carry this book around with us. There's nothing and I don't make any irreverence to the person of Jesus Christ. I would have loved to have walked when Jesus walked, but we are not lacking anything that we didn't get to walk with Jesus. Does everybody hear that? We're not lacking one ounce. We have something that is the complete story of who Jesus is. We have got it. And as we're looking at this theme, complete in him, can I tell you that he has completed us through his complete word. So that we have no excuse as we walk through a dark world to find God. So, for a few moments, I want to give you some things. I already know that I probably can't get through what I have for you this morning. But I hope that what I've said so far is a help as we look at the blessings of the completed scriptures. Now, go back to 2 Timothy. So we have studied the completeness of who Jesus is to us. Now let's look at something so practical to us. Because honestly, and I don't even like to say this, is Jesus practical to us? And I would say, yes, he is practical to us. But I'll tell you, he's practical to us as we have his word, because it's the story, it's the knowledge. And by the way, I've started reading through 2 Peter because I believe that's where we're going to go soon. As soon as I feel like I'm ready for it, but as soon as I get there. But in 2 Peter, do you know how? I'm taking another time out, and I know it's another little bit of a rabbit trail, but just listen to this, because it's all part of it. The answer to this complete life, and I want to use the word realized. We are already all completed. Everybody listen to this. We are already completed. You already have eternal life. We're all complete in him already. But sometimes we don't recognize it or understand it. We are on a pathway to recognizing what we already have. And 2 Peter gives us the answer. The answer to all the fullness of who Jesus Christ is a knowledge of him. When we understand who God is, when we understand who Jesus is, that's when we are most benefited. It's not something we don't have. It's just that we've got to learn of him. We've got to know of him. And I'm really trying to think through that in my own personal lives. It's a knowledge of Jesus. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. That song is perfect for what we need. We've got to understand him. When we know God, we have a deep relationship with God. Can I say this? A person that does not know Jesus, when I'm talking about the characteristics of what he does, what he loves, what he hates, the things of God, when a person doesn't know, then they cannot have a close relationship and fellowship with him because they don't know him. We've got to know him. This is getting, I'm trying to get more practical and practical about how we can know the way. How we can know the way in life so that you can have that roadmap, so that you can have that truth, so you can have that power, that life to get to the Father. And it's the answer of Jesus, and he's very made it very practical through his word. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we're here. And I want you to go to a verse that you probably all know. Look at verse 16. Well, I can start in verse 15. And Paul, and that from a child, thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Can I say this before we look at it? This verse sounds like completeness, doesn't it? Completeness. It says completeness all throughout. All right. Now, we're humans, we're people here, and there's a tendency at the time that we're at for me to say we're beginning now the message. There's a tendency for you to say, now, how is he going to do this? And I'm going to be looking for those words that indicate that we're almost done. Can you just ignore that? Because I'll stop when we need to. Forget it. Don't worry about it. Because if all you do is think about when we're going to stop and what point is, you're not going to listen to anything that's said. Okay? So forget all that. You just hang with us and we'll finish. I don't know if we'll maybe keep going on tonight. I don't know. We keep putting that off, or maybe I'll do it next week. I don't know. I'll pray through that. You trust the Lord for that. But just would you stay focused for the little bit of time here, okay? And don't worry about anything else. All right. I want you to see three things from verse 16. Because this is complete answers for the dark. Okay? Complete answers. And I'm not saying that Jesus is not, because Jesus is, and this is Jesus. This is the scriptures. This is the word. All right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. The first thing that I want you to see is that this word is all-encompassing. It's all-encompassing. That means, folks, every book that's in the Bible is good for what we need. Every single book. There have been people that said, you know, I have read scholarly commentators that when they get to the book of James, they say, James is one of those practical books and it has no doctrine in it. And I think, what are they talking about? And when did they not read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16? Because I want to tell you, yes, James is a very practical, and I praise the Lord for practical. Don't you? You know, there's a lot of people that are theologues that all you do and they talk over your head. And by the way, I'm not making light of theology, because that's our doctrine, and we're going to talk about doctrine here in just a little bit. We need that doctrine, but I tell you what, if doctrine has no practice, and by the way, doctrine has everything to do with practice. But God did not give us James as something that's just some side note. And I'm telling you the truth. I have had friends in the ministry that kind of ignore James because James doesn't have a bunch of theology like Romans does. We're getting a little bit too smart for life. And I praise the Lord for James, because James is filled with doctrine, which we're going to get to here in just a moment. I think they're thinking of doctrine in too big and too smart of a way, I guess. They're too smart for doctrine itself. But there is not a book in the Bible that we have, of the 66 books that we have, the completed scriptures, there's that word again, complete. There's not a book that is not profitable for your life. Isn't it amazing how we have a tendency when we read Genesis, we got the beginning. You know where I'm going with this, as soon as I said that. Oh, and we read Exodus, and there's a lot of interesting things in Exodus, because this is telling the story about how, you know, God's people are going to get out of a pickle. But right away, from Exodus, in some people's minds, we say we drop into the depths of Leviticus. And it doesn't stop there, because we go from Leviticus to Numbers. Numbers, then maybe up a little bit into Deuteronomy, and then, hey, Deuteronomy from there on out, we got some exciting things, because we go straight from Deuteronomy into Joshua, you know, maybe one of the most exciting books that are out there. All scripture. Does that mean, Pastor, that I can get something out of Numbers? What do you think? Folks, don't be deceived. You see, this book is all-encompassing. All scriptures. There is not a book that's not important, but I'll tell you, it's not just books. There's not a chapter that's not important. Aren't you so tempted in certain chapters when you look at it and you say, that's 100% genealogy, I can't get anything out of that. Aren't you tempted to skip over that thing and say, I can't get anything out of this today? I'm going to raise my hand right with you. But folks, if that's the case, then 2 Timothy 3:16 is not true. He says all Scripture, every chapter, every book, every chapter, every verse. There's some verses that we look at and we say, there's nothing in that verse. I don't get anything out of that. But I'll tell you what, it was put there for a purpose. And men have tried to pull verses out, whatever, and they are ripping apart the Word of God. But God gives all of His verses because we need them, and they're profitable for doctrine. They're profitable for reproof. They're profitable for correction, instruction, and righteousness so that we can be that completed person in Him practically. Can I say this? There's not a word in Scripture. There's not a word in Scripture that is not profitable. Every word in the Scriptures is all-encompassing, and we need to make sure that we understand that. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, by the word, this every piece or all Scripture, it's every individual portion separately and as a whole. Romans, just for time's sake, Romans 15, 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for what? Our learning. And this is going back to the Old Testament. You hear, you know, the writer of Romans is going back, Paul, you know, and he's saying, it is profitable. It is. It was written for our learning. You can learn from Numbers and Deuteronomy and Exodus and Leviticus, all those, this set them out of order, but you can learn from all of those. It's for our learning. They were written for that so that we can learn. That we, listen to this, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And without it, guess what? No hope. We need to understand that all of Scripture is given, all of Scripture, and it's profitable for all. I told you about 2 Peter chapter 1, 19, and we also have a more sure word of prophecy. We're not going to get into all of that. Good verses there, 19 to 21. Everybody has their different opinions of different versions of the Bible, and we're not going to talk and discuss versions today. There's another version that's out there, probably not a popular version of people, but the Authorized Standard Version, the ASV. Listen to how they state this verse, verse 16 of 2 Timothy. They say it this way, every scripture inspired of God is also profitable. Now, how is that wrong? Let me read it again. Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable. What is missing there? Where are they messing things up? Let me read it again. Every scripture inspired of God. What does that mean? It means there's some scripture that's not inspired of God. They've got it twisted up. They're wrong. All Scripture is inspired of God, period. There's nowhere else to go. You know, they say that then every Scripture that's inspired of God is profitable. So that means that there's some Scriptures that aren't profitable. Folks, I know that you probably don't follow the ASV, but I want to tell you something. Don't practice and don't even think it in your minds, those thoughts. All of Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every single word, God put it there for you. You know, Satan has been wanting us to deceive us in this area from the very beginning. You remember in the beginning of Genesis and the trickster that he was with Adam and Eve in chapter 3, and you read the first couple verses of that. And what was the temptation there for Eve in the very beginning? What did he say? Hath God said? He put a temptation in people's minds saying this, did God really say that? And I would submit to you that that's one of the biggest tactics that the devil uses is for people to look at their Bibles and then to read a commentary that says something to this effect. Not used in some of the best manuscripts. That statement right there to me blows everything out of the water. Then I say, so how do I know what is then? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, all right? I'm not trying to make any major points today on versions and all kind of stuff. I want to just tell you something. You need to understand that what we have in this book is all Scripture. And it's profitable for you. We need it. We need every single word. But the devil has been trying to trick us in thinking. So the practical application of this is this. There is something for you. Listen to this. Every time that the Word of God is read and opened, there's something for you. That means that you never come to church someday and you sit through the whole time and you say, you know what, there wasn't anything for me in there today. There's only one time you can say that, and that's if you go to a church that doesn't open the Bible, okay, and read the Scriptures, okay? And by the way, there are churches that do that today, I guess. That's what I hear. But if the Word of God is given, then guess what? It's for you. It's for you. It's all-encompassing. We need to understand this about about the truth of God's Word. So that means when the preacher's getting up and he's starting to preach a message, you say, well, I don't need this one. You're wrong, because you're not believing 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. No, it is, and it's profitable for me. It's good for everything. I need to pay attention to this. You say, but this is a gospel message. I'm already saved. Guess what? As saved people, we need to hear gospel messages preached on a normal basis to maybe to help us recognize the goodness of God and what He's done in our lives. Maybe it's to give us a swift kick to get out there and give the gospel to somebody else. I don't know, but God gives it for a good reason, and we need it. Don't ever come to church thinking that I don't need that. Because if you think that, you're being deceived and you're not believing 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. But can I also say this? There's never a time when it is there. Every time is for you, and there's never a time when it is not for you. If I could put it that way, that's kind of the negative. There's never a time that it's not for you. Always. Open up the Word of God. You say, what am I getting out of this today? Well, get something out of it, and God will show you. Ask Him, but it's profitable. Okay? If I could say this, there's always light coming from God's Word. Always. Have you ever gotten to the drawer, you needed a light, the electricity went off, or you're out camping, or you're doing something, you need to get the light, and you got your favorite light, you pull it out there, and you click the button, and what? You know what I'm about to say? There's no light coming from it. It's not profitable, is it? Listen, now I gave you that illustration, very simple illustration. There is not ever a time when we click the button and God's light, there's no light coming from it. Never. Never. And very practically, folks, and we're probably gonna have to stop here with just this first point. How is this beneficial to us? You see, God has completed Himself. There's completeness in always. I always know. I would love a flashlight that I know that I could never, ever in my entire lifetime, never have to worry about replacing batteries. I would love that kind of a light. But I do have that kind of a light. There is a light in my life that I never, ever, 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 it's complete. And there's the key word, it's complete. There's never a time when this book is going to disappoint me. We might have to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Doesn't mean that we're just going to like, oh, there's my answer. But I'll tell you what, you look in the Word of God and there's going to be an answer. This book is not disappointing. Many people have been disappointed. Say, you know what? Pastor said that I could read. I read this morning out of whatever, and I didn't get anything out of it. Must have proved him wrong. The truth of the matter is there's truth in every passage. And we need to get it. There's always something good about God. You say, what's good about a genealogy? I want to tell you something. I'm not really trying to stretch things, but I praise the Lord that God allowed certain fathers to have certain children that had grandchildren and great-grandchildren, because I tell you what, where would we be today without David? You see, there's a lineage. There's something special. You could look up and say, God, thank you so much for the people that you put in order. There's no doubt that Father A in the genealogy and whatever passage you're reading, there's no doubt that that father taught something to that son, and that son taught whatever, and they became the people who they were. You see, you read over those words, and there's lives that are represented there. But there's also truths in how God preserved those people, maybe how God let those people go so that they would see him. There's something through that that we can look up and say, God, thank you so much for what you've shown me. It might even be something to trigger me into thanking God for the parents that you gave me and the grandparents that you gave me. And I don't believe that I'm pulling things to say that. There's things in God's word that he gives us that we need to recognize that are profitable for us. And it's part of the process that completes us practically in him. So there's always light coming and shining out of God's word. Now, we're going to have to stop there, but look at, you know, we're thinking about Thomas and Jesus. We're thinking about Jesus and us. And I want to tell you something. I'm thankful. There was not a word that this disciple has to miss out on that I would look and say, but God, we don't know, though. I don't know. God is saying through this first point, Sean, I'm telling you something. You might not know the answer yet, but it is there. It's there. And practically, folks, if you're kind of like Thomas today and you say, you know what, Pastor, I've got a lot of decisions going on in my life. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do that. And there's a lot of things. And I'm going to tell you something. I just wish I had a map. Guess what? Jesus gave us himself, but he very practically gave us his word. There is a map that has every left and right and stop and go in it. It might not say go and it might not say stop, but it's through the person, it's through his word and through the person of Jesus, and as we get to know him and his word through that knowledge. 2 Peter says he's given everything for us for life and godliness. Everything. Do we believe it? I want you to see the completeness that God has given to us through the word, through Jesus, through his word. So first of all, Scripture is all-encompassing. We're not going to look at it just so that you can start thinking through it, whether it's tonight or next week. We're going to see that it's all enriching. There's a lot of stuff we're going to be looking at in this next point. It's all enriching. And this shows you how much I have. I'm going through pages of stuff here. It's all equipping. And so lots that we're going to go through, but we're learning about how complete we are in Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much that you've not left us in the dark. Thank you so much that you love us enough that you give us everything. You gave us Jesus. You gave us your word. If Jesus weren't practical enough, Lord, you gave us the word to share with us who Jesus is. God, thank you for making it so simple for us. Lord, I pray that we'd be good stewards of your word and that we would study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Lord, that we would have that knowledge of who you are so that we could have that hope, so that we could have not only eternal life, but we could know how to live. God, help us. Thank you so much for your good word. I pray that it's been a blessing to some here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and take our hymnals.